Hello, hello, hello. I want to start off with something. Have you guys been tired of all the commercials? Oh. Ads? Every time you try to watch something, here comes an ad online or on TV. And right now it's all about politics, so I thought I'd pull out my little Hoya joke, okay? It was election time, and a politician decided to go to a local reservation to try and get the Native American vote. They all met in the council hall to hear the speech. The politician has had his finale all worked up. "I promise better education for Native Americans." The crowd went wild, shouting, "Hoya, hoya, hoya." "I promise gambling reforms." "Hoya, hoya, hoya." After the speech, the politician wanted to get out and look at the cattle. He was so excited about the great response he had. He said, "I'm going to go look at your cattle out here." And he got a little bit closer. And the chief said, "Sure, you can get closer, but be sure you're careful not to step in the Hoya." There's a whole lot of Hoya going on. Tonight, let's open, or today, or wherever you're at, Judges chapter 16. We're going to talk about opposition that is controlled. Stepping out of the matrix bubble. When I started seeing things, boy, I wish I could start over. Do you ever think, oh, I wish I knew all this and I could start over? I spent so many years going down paths that weren't right, thinking you were walking with the Lord and all this and that. But there's a principle here in Judges that we need to see because it's happening to us today, and it's been happening throughout history, and it's all right in here about Delilah and Samson. So we're going to see, have you ever why nothing ever changes? Two words, and I'm going to switch these back and forth so the AIs don't get me, but controlled, or opposition, let's say, that is controlled. And under the Smith-Mundt Act, Modernization Act, which is a part of social engineering, it's to cause groupthink. A group can infiltrate an organization to change their perception and reality for all. Lenin quoted, or some people say they don't know who said it, but let's just call it the merchants of the earth, the kings of the earth, whoever these secret people are, whatever you want to call them. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. Let me say that again. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. An example, fake protest movements. Yeah. Right. In order to further an agenda, using psyops, what is a psyop? To give information, to influence emotions and outcomes, used in peacetime and conflict to promote campaigns and strategies, and it reduces the enemy's will to fight. You wear down the people by creating an enemy. There always has to be an enemy in the yin-yang on a stick. Always have to be an enemy. So let's look at this story in Judges chapter 16. I'm just going to take my time. There's so much in here. We're just going to stick here. Then went Samson to Gaza, and there he saw there an harlot, and he went unto her. Now you think, how can a man of God like Samson, how can he be visiting prostitutes, right? The scripture that came to me was, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in your name, and haven't we done that in thy name?" And he says, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I didn't know you." Because there's a lot of things going on in the name of God that aren't God, but they use God. They're working iniquity under the cover of Christianity. Yeah. They're using it as a cover. God said. Mm-hmm. I don't like people that tell me God said, God said. And unfortunately, back in the day, I used to say that because that was part of our lingo back then is, boy, you're really spiritual. God spoke to you, but he keeps changing his mind. Next week, he said something else because we were following our emotions and we were following a lot of men. And it's hard because I want to come out of the matrix with you. If you're not ready to come out of the matrix, don't listen to this message. Because when I started seeing a lot of the things that I see now, a lot of them I can't preach on, it was very upsetting because I thought, everything is really as it appears. You know, our reality is what they say, and everybody just, you know, follows the rules. And I always was wondering, because I have my fashion merchandising background, and I was like, who always makes up the rules for fashion? Who are these people? Who are they? Who are they? Who are these people? Well, the Bible tells us who they are. In Psalms 2, they said the kings and the kings of the earth come against the Lord and his anointed. And when I was in this church movement, I guess I thought the devil was dead. He was under our feet and he didn't exist. And instead, we lived in church bubbles. Do you know what a church bubble is? You do everything at church. Yeah. Morning, noon, and night, you're there. You serve, you do this and that. And you just, that's all you do is church. You forget there's a world. You forget anybody else needs anything. It's just, yeah. I mean, we forget our relatives, our family, everything. We were in a church bubble. So here's Samson. He saw an harlot, and he went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. Now, who is the Gazites? I looked them up. Gazite, a lot of people say, you use an amplified Bible. I do not use an amplified Bible. Some lady wrote me a dirty email. I just take a word and I break it up and I look at it. I don't use the amplified. I haven't used the amplified Bible for how many years? At least 2016, I think, 2015, before I started seeing things. But I look up a word and I'll give you the definition, because sometimes people don't understand what the words are. I've always liked to break down words. So that's just me. It's not a Bible translation. If I come across a verse, I'll tell you what the definition is, just in case some of you don't understand. But here are the Gazites. They are the inhabitants, or the people that lived in Gaza. And who were they? They were the Philistines. And the Philistines were warriors. They were fierce warriors that wanted to wipe God's people off the face of the earth. And guess what? They still live today. They still live today under different names. If you don't believe that, look up the Noahide laws. I'm not going to go into that. But that is also using the name of God, coming off like it's really something spiritual. But it's to really wipe the Christians off the face of the earth as these things get enacted. And you say, well, who would ever sign those? All the presidents have signed these. So you need to know this battle still continues. And that's why he tells us to stay awake. And that's why Paul was, he said, I've wept for 3 years trying to warn you about the wolves that are coming and that are in the midst of us. And there's wolves in the church. The church has been invaded and they want the one world religion. That's why I think I've been shadow banned for so long, because I try to expose these things. They don't want that exposed yet. They want everyone to go along and the masses follow into herd mentality of what's coming. But God gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we have this short window to walk through right now. Regardless if people love you or hate you, we got to tell the truth. And persecution is here. It's always been here, but we've been kind of away from it a lot. But as this worldwide movement comes, this globalization, whatever you want to call it, more and more Christianity is going to be snuffed out. They're trying to totally destabilize it, to get everybody's eyes on all the flaws of people and preachers that are falling in this. And it doesn't matter who falls. Jesus didn't fall. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We all make mistakes. We're all human, but he is the one we keep our eyes on. We got to be encouraged, because there's so much fear porn going on. Fear porn, fear of this, fear of that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll give you peace to walk every day. We only walk one day at a time. But anyway, these are the Philistines, and these are the enemies of Israel, and they're also the enemies of God's people. Boy, there's a whole lot I'd like to say about that. But they encompassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. So here we see the enemy wanting to kill the light. Let's just call it the light. And he was walking with his vow with God. His vow was that he would not cut his hair. That was his Nazarite vow. That wasn't where his strength was. His strength was in his vow that he vowed to the Lord, but he broke his vow and he lost his strength. But his strength wasn't in his hair. It was his commitment to the Lord. And he put Delilah ahead of God. And we always get in trouble. look back at your life, if any time you've put people, family, kids, anything ahead of the Lord, it's like, boy, you can't, he wants first place. And then when he's first place, he gives you the wisdom how to deal with these people. But if you put them first, then you're trying to please them all the time. And then you get like Samson, he didn't please the Lord, he pleased Delilah. We want to please the Lord all of our days. So they wanted to kill him. And then it talks about how they went to the doors of the gate and the two posts. It's something about the two pillars. The secret cults, they always have two pillars. If you know the symbols, you see a lot. These symbols come out of the Bible, but it's twisted. Everything they do is twisted, turned, whatever. But here, at the doors of the gate of the city, the two posts went away from them, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders. What did he do? He defeated them. So, wow, he defeated them. And then we see it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, and her name was Delilah. And let me see if there's any more notes here. The Philistines were the enemy of God's people. They worshiped Dagon. Now, Dagon was the fertility god. And again, they want to wipe out God's people from the earth, and they still do. This whole movement of gender bending and all that is all still part of this. Anything that God made, they want it reversed, backwards, upset. They were fierce warriors. They didn't quit. And again, I want to remind everybody, we still have an enemy. We still have a spiritual battle ahead of us. And David fought Goliath. He was a Philistine. And what the Philistines always did through the Bible, and they're still doing it today, is they take advantage of the enemy's weaknesses. They find out where we're weak, and then they try to attack us there. They found out where Samson was weak, and they attacked him there. The enemy loves to attack us when we're down, send in the wrong kind of people, whatever it might be, but they want to bully and harass God's people, persecute them. Samson had all these Philistine leaders, and they came to Delilah, and they wanted him, in verse 4, wanted her, the lords of the Philistines. So that means there were a lot of them. Lords, wasn't just one. When the enemy gathers together, they gather together. The kings of the earth come together against the Lord and his anointed. So if you really look through Scripture, and all, these enemies are gathering together against Christ, the Antichrist, right? It's always been, and we're not exempt in our generation. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said, this is her assignment, entice him, see where his great strength lies, by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Every single one of those leaders paid her. It wasn't just one guy. She got a lot of money. She sold out for money. Mm-hmm. What will you sell out for? Right. Sad, I get these letters and someone said, oh, finally a leader, a preacher, whatever you want to call me. I don't have any titles anymore. Someone that preaches the truth. And I thought, how sad. The preachers today are not preaching the truth. They're preaching, live your dream. Going to be a mystic. You know, going to the second or third heaven. I mean, how does that deal with what we're facing right now? Because it's going to keep you in that church bubble, in the matrix of the church. No, we're not called to be in any bubble. We're called to face reality and know we have an enemy, just like Samson had an enemy. We have to endure to the end, right? So it says that we may bind him to afflict him, and we may give every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. That was a bribe. How many people today have sold out because of money? Yeah. The love of money, it's not money, it's the love of it is the root of all evil. Yes. How many politicians, how many preachers have been paid off? Right. Are reading a script, just doing what they're told from the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. You can't serve God in money. This one preacher I know said, I can. No, you can't, because at some point you'll do what the money says versus what God says, and you have to deny yourself. There's a lot of ways we could have made money, but it wasn't what God told us to do. you have to serve the Lord, especially if you're a leader of some kind. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee. Now, all of a sudden, here she's going to use the spiritual side. All of a sudden, Delilah got spiritual. This prostitute that is sold out, I pray thee. And this is what the enemy does. He comes and he finds our weakness, but he uses a spirit of religion to kind of say, God said. Well, they're quoting scripture. It's got to be God. These people are preaching scriptures. The devil uses scriptures. Even against Jesus, he used them. So tell me, I pray thee, she's all acting religious, where your great strength lieth and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. In plain sight, she tells him, I want to know your strength so that we can afflict you. And this is one of the things that the enemy does. He always tells you what he's going to do. If you listen, I was thinking about some of the things that the last president said about Venezuela and about all these different things, little clues. I was like, it's not going to get warmer. It's going to get colder. Different things like that. Why? Because they know. They know they're on the inside. Oh, some of you don't like to hear that. You say, well, you don't give us hope. Jesus is our hope. We don't have another Savior coming. He's come. And Samson said unto her, if you bind me with seven, and he goes through these three different things, I'm not going to, but each time the Philistines come. Now, wouldn't you think he'd learn after she keeps doing this over and over and over? Don't you think we'd learn when these people, I don't care what three-letter agencies they're of, they lie to us? They keep lying to us, and oh, well, they said this, and then everyone's quoting this three-letter agency. Well, they said that they're liars. They're liars, but they tell you what they're going to do. So listen. Sometimes you got to listen. And when I started seeing through a lot of things, some people don't like it because they don't mess up my reality. Exactly. Well, God's came to mess up our reality. Nothing that he's told us seems easy. He said, pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. Follow me. Follow me wherever he tells you to go. Instead, we have a church bubble that tells us God wants you rich and healed. Totally missing what the Lord's called us to do into focusing on ourselves and our needs, because that's the weakness of man. We want to have life easy, but if you're a Christian, it's a narrow path, and it's going to get narrower as we're seeing these end times come. But here anyway, she's telling him what she's going to do, and then the Philistines are lying around in the back waiting, and then they come out. And then he just pushes him off and does his thing. He keeps thinking that he'll just keep on. You get the sin of familiarity where you just keep thinking, I'll sin, but God will forgive me. I'll sin, it's not going to catch up with me. But the Bible says if you sin, that those coals, they're going to burn your feet. Because sometimes you might dodge a bullet here and there, but the truth always comes out, right? So he keeps messing around with her, playing these games. And she keeps telling him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. We want to kill you and afflict you. What kind of a nut would hang around with a girl like that? Where is his marbles? Where are his noodles? The Philistines are waiting in the back room and they're coming out. They're friends. They've made a pact. We give her money for your secret. This is what happens when you get in witchcraft. When they start controlling you and manipulating you, he comes under this manipulation and this control. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherein thou great strideth thou mightest... Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. We want to know how to bind you up. She's telling him in plain sight what she's going to do to him. It kind of reminds me of these commercials that come on TV and the side effects. We're going to tell you what's going to happen to you if you take this. And the side effects are worse than your problem. We're going to bind you up. We're going to give you a heart attack and we're going to kill you. But take this, you know, if your doctor says it's okay. Tell me, wherewith thou mightest be bound. We want to bind you up. Still my assignment. She wanted her money. And many people have assignments. They're going to follow a script for money. What's your money going to do when you face God face to face? And he's going to judge us for what we did. And you sold out. So he keeps on playing games with her. Now in verse 15, she said unto him, how can you say I love thee? Now she's going into the love bombing and the emotion and the self-pity and the shame. And How can you say, I love you, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. I want to know where your strength is because I want my money. Basically, she's telling him he's under some kind of witchcraft. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. Can you imagine every single day? I want to know your strength so I can bind you. I want to know your strength. So what is it? What is it? You know, she just harped. So she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Vexed here, she threatened him. She nagged him. She wore him down. She pouted day after day. Some women are just emotional. I don't even know what you call them. Baggy haggies. They just wear you out. Pouted day after day. Why? She had an agenda. She complained and guilted him until she got it. Well, he could have walked away. He had freedom of choice. He could have said, I've had enough of this, and walked away. But he didn't. He stayed in the place of temptation. We have to flee. When we know we're in a situation, you got to cut it off, you got to leave, whatever you got to do. So she pressed him daily, then that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor. Now this is the real secret. There hasn't come a razor upon mine head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. So what did she do? She sent out and called for the lords of the Philistines. Come. She saw that he told her all his heart, and she calls him back again. I'm sure they're getting tired too. Is it going to work this time? But this time, they knew she had a secret, because look what they did. The lords of the Philistines came up into her and brought money. It's the first time they brought their money. Ooh, we're going to get him now, and you can pay this lady off. And she made him sleep upon her knees. This is total witchcraft and manipulation and control. He was worn down, he was beat up, and now she gives him a haircut. She called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. But, you know, he came back, he repented. But he, at this point, he thought, well, I'll just shake myself off and do as I've done before. But he didn't realize the Lord had departed from him. That vow he broke. This was under the old covenant, remember. But he had a vow, and he broke that vow, and now his hair got cut, and he got his eyes taken out from him. So we know this was a sad story, but it also shows how his opposition was controlled. This is kind of what I want you to see. Once you see through the opposition that's controlled, you can't stop that as far as what we're going through now, but you can see it. And when you see it, you don't fall for it. You don't fall for the drama. You don't fall for the lies. You don't fall for the yin, the yang, all the stuff they're trying to push and create, all this theater. And you realize that the enemy's together, and they want to bring in this new system. So I'm just going to say a couple of things about opposition that is controlled. And maybe we'll name this Watch Your Back. If Samson would have watched his back and realized the enemy's after me and he's using Delilah to get me, he would have seen the attack. And sometimes the enemy creeps in these churches, in politics, in education, wherever it is. They want to control those 7 mountains, you know. They come in, and when we can see them operating, we have to pull back and do what God tells us to do. I'm not going to get into all that, but George Orwell's book in 1984 is a novel which paints a vivid picture of a grim future. It's humanity's become the slave. What's it become the slave of? Continual warfare. Inescapable surveillance. Insidious propaganda. And irrational denialism. And this is what I see right now. So many people are living in denial. And what is denial? It's refusing to admit the truth. They do not want their reality upset with truth. We can't handle the truth because it's not what we want to hear. In the church world, we've been painted, it's all blessed, you're highly favored, you're the head, not the tail, everything you want's coming to, you're blessed beyond favor, on and on and on and on. We've been told you're always going to be healed, you're always going to be blessed, just give me your seed and you're going to have this harvest, all these different things, and people are backslidden because of it. They are tired of the church, they're tired of the lies, and they don't want anything to do with it. And what this attempt from the devil was is to get people away from God. Get them away from the true Savior, the true Jesus, and get your eyes on yourself and how you can elevate and raise consciousness, the new age. So in Orwell's novel, people focused on the thought police and Big Brother. The greatest character in this novel is Goldstein. He's the leader of the Brotherhood. He's supposed to be the hero whose revolutionary writing inspires those woke minds within the system to rise up and to dismantle the corrupt system in which they're enslaved. But Goldstein, this is what I want you to see, is nothing more than fiction. A character created by the dominant culture to bait dissenters. Bait dissenters. Now, remember, the best way to control is to put your own leaders in there. And I remember one of my police officer friends, she said she was doing a I don't know what they call them, honey trap, sex thing, whatever. She dressed it like a prostitute to arrest people. And I thought, well, that's really wicked. Why would you do that? Well, that's what they do. They do these stings. And that way they, you know, well, the enemy has used this against us. Always create an enemy. Because if you create an enemy, you can use that enemy to get any law passed, to stop anything you want, to create division, confusion. Just think about it. Even in the good movies, it's always a good and a bad guy. There's always got to be the bad guy, right? So it's nothing. This character is created by the culture to bait dissenters into the open so they can be identified and neutralized. Orwell uses Goldstein to paint a vivid picture of controlled or opposition that is controlled. Orwell uses the character of Goldstein to demonstrate a tactic used by many, many cultures in history throughout ever to control the boundaries of the dissident. Dissent. This character is effectively a rat trap to ensnare few individuals who dare look beyond the veil of our manufactured reality so they can be processed and neutralized before they really cause any great resistance. When I saw this too, we were watching People of Interest, and this one guy was doing this cause and he was really rising up against the whatever, and long story short, he was being controlled and paid by the very person that he thought he was coming against. Because he was in deception and he was being told that this is what you're going to fight for. It was a trap. Mm-hmm. So we have to come out of the matrix and see we really do have an enemy. Just like Samson had an enemy, just like in the Bible, the Old Testament, all that's there for a reason. A lot of people say, don't read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. It's got stories that we need today of things he's showing us, the tactics of the enemy and how the prophets fell. They weren't really good prophets. They were bad, but they always sold out. And so the pastors and the leaders and the old, they were always being rebuked, but God always had an Ezekiel or an Isaiah, somebody that stood for the truth, but it wasn't easy. He wasn't prophesying over people to get, you know, to lie them into their futures and stuff. He told truth to keep them with the Lord. That's what a true prophet was. He'd have to keep that way straight, the narrow path, so that people could find the Lord and hear the Lord and obey the Lord. Not what it's turned out today in the Matrix Church of you come to church and get a word over you. And most of those were, I've had them all, trust me, they don't. So it's a matrix. So here in this novel, you see these unthinking crowds. What happens is all of a sudden everyone gets into groupthink. And if you don't think the way the group does, there's something wrong with you. But then we'll put someone in charge of that group that's going to take care of anyone that's really going to cause us problems. We'll direct them away. And we'll control them. But they'll think they're not being controlled. See the game? Divided against each other and incapable of thinking deeply. Today, people don't think for themselves. We have to think, and that's the thing. I'll watch anything now, and I'm aware they could be lying to me. I used to believe everybody. I was so naive. I just thought everybody was good, and everybody wanted. I couldn't believe anybody that OJ would ever be guilty. I mean, I just thought, no, who would do that to their lovely wife? I mean, that's how I was, just from that world of total, everybody's just, you know, loving and all this. And this police friend of mine, he listens to this still, he'd say, oh, no, he's guilty. I said, no, he's not. Who would do that to his... That's how innocent I was, but naive and definitely not street smart. But as I started seeing this, I was like, the whole world... We live in a matrix of lies. So now the second, this is an article, and I want you to listen closely because I think this is really important. Not only was Delilah controlled for money, we're living in a day where many people have sold out. They have sold out, and they are not who you think they are. So how you have to use discernment. In the church, in these popular preachers and stuff, it's hard going against the grain. I mean, it was better when I was friends with all these people. I'd love to name some of the names. You guys would know them all. But I was in their houses doing this and that, and it was just wonderful. I'd served them. But now I'm coming against what they're preaching because I see through it now. It's taken me a long time. But if I can see through it, you can too. So controlled opposition is a running theme throughout human history. It certainly appears to be in use today, although you won't hear anybody talking about it in the mainstream media. Nobody talks about this. Again, Lenin said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And what happens then when they control both sides, they can do what they want, but nothing really changes. Oh, you're getting heard. They're listening to you. Oh, yeah, he's our leader, but nothing changes. And why does nothing change? Opposition that is controlled. Let me go into this just a little bit deeper, if you can hang on for a few more minutes. The concept of controlled opposition can create fake everything. Fake protest movements, burn things down, no one seems to care, right? Stand down, all these different things. Why? There's some agenda. There's a law that needs to be passed. Yep. And if this PSYOP didn't happen, the law couldn't be passed.
That's right.
So we got to oppose. We got to do this and that. We got to make theater. We got to make drama. We got to create this enemy so that we can have the agenda passed. Mm-hmm. Once you start seeing it, it's freedom. It's hard to see. But once you see it, once you see the tactic, and once you see the opposition that's being controlled to manipulate you, just like Samson was manipulated, don't think we can't be manipulated as well. Now, this guy explains this, and I just kind of break it down as easy as I can. He calls this type 1 controlled, I don't want to say that word, opposition that is controlled. He talks about the Harlem Globetrotters. Anybody remember them? The Globetrotters had controlled entities that created an opposing reality. Let's say it, that I'm trying to be careful. False competition between the Harlem Globetrotters and their opponent for over 60 years was the Washington Generals. It was a fake team, really. So we have a fake, everything becomes a fake. Fake enemy. This enemy over here is doing this, so now we can stop this. We can stop all the gas. We can stop all this and that because this enemy over here is, we're being manipulated and controlled for the reset that's coming. They want to control all the resources. They want to bring in universal basic income, all these different things. And then they have these leaders, these celebrities. Oh, if you follow them, oh, they're good. Oh, they're going to have freedom of speech over here. No, they're leading you through an app to cause social credit scores. You were coming into social credit scores, and these people are leading you right into deception. Pretending they're your friend. So that's why we don't use celebrities to tell us what to do. We're not of this world. So anyway, here this, I hope I'm explaining this right, but this false competition between the Harlem Globetrotters and their singular opponent for over 60 years, the Washington Generals, and if you don't know what the Harlem Globetrotters, they were an exhibition basketball team that was, they were really fun to watch. They had, they're very athletic, theater and comedy. They were quite entertaining. But according to the Wikipedia page here, from 1953 to 1995, the Globetrotters played only the Washington Generals, although the Generals players dressed out as other fictional teams. In other words, they would wear different outfits. So now they're not going to be this team, they're going to be another team. So they always had control of what they were doing. They had control of this team, and then the Harlem Globetrotters always won because it wasn't really about winning a game. It was about the show. So the Generals not only played the role of the straight men to the Globetrotters, basketball, showboating, and comic antics, they also always lost. These people always lost to the Globetrotters. These weren't real basketball games, of course, and the Washington Generals weren't really playing to win. It was all part of the show. And that's what happens when we have opposition and it's being controlled. It's not about winning. It's about, oh, they're saying all the things that we want. Hoya, 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 nothing changes. Hoya, 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 right? So you have one entity that employs people to create a false opponent or infiltrate an existing opposing entity in order to create the illusion of a conflict, an illusion of a contest to the exclusion of a real one. The false opponent will attract anyone who might be interested in opposing the first entity or its agenda, but ultimately will render their efforts and the opposing cause impotent and prevent any real change from ever occurring. Why doesn't things change? Why does every politician promise lowering taxes? And then to get you against the other opponent, they'll say, they're going to raise your taxes. I mean, if you look at the games they play, they've been doing it for years and years and years, and nothing changes. Have your taxes went down, regardless of who comes in or goes? The existence of the false opponent will also prevent the natural development of any other real opponent, as it'll co-opt any new talent and dissuade others from competing with it. So if they control the opposition, if they control through their people, their puppets to other people, who knows? The Bible says in the end times the evil is going to become more evil. And it's getting evil for our children right now. It's evil in the schools. It's evil what they're trying to do. They're purposely trying to cause division. They want division because as we divide, we weaken. We weaken. And it's all about problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic. They create a problem. We react. They come in with a solution to the problem that they already created, that if we wouldn't have reacted, they couldn't have moved. So it's quite a big game. And now there's another part of controlled opposition. I went through a lot of articles to just get to this. The second kind is exemplified by another sports entertainment franchise, the World Wrestling Entertainment. Formerly the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF. If you've ever watched a match, you know there's a lot more going on than just wrestling. And you can also hopefully know that it's all scripted and choreographed. That's drama, and people know that, and they love it because it's drama, and they know it's just entertainment. Providing specter, you know, it gives everybody a chance to root for some, and then they always give you characters to hate. And aren't they doing that still? They give you people we should love and then people we should hate. And then if you love one and your neighbor doesn't love that one, they hate you because you love that one. Interesting. So sometimes the characters shift from being good to bad, bad to good, as the wrestlers fight it out for a coveted championship belt. At the top of all this drama sits this family who owns the WWE and also partake in the drama. While the fans understand this literally, and they know what's going on, and they know who pulls the strings, this type of opposition works in much the same way, but not for the purpose of entertainment. Instead of one entity controlling its opposition, as we saw in type one, there is one group. Who are these group? The synagogue of Satan, I believe the Bible says in the book of Revelation. the synagogue of Satan, the cabal, the Luciferians, whoever you want to call them, they're still there. The Philistines, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Oh, it's a religious sect. That's why my videos always get banned, because I'm exposing the agenda for the new religion. Well, we'll keep doing it as long as you guys help me and God keeps opening the door. Instead of one entity controlling its opposition, as we saw in type one, there is an entity or group that operates in the shadows. There's always a shadow government. There's always somebody that they have to respond to. Who makes up these rules? And who are these people? So those that are in the shadows and control, if not all of the major players. Players, actors in a theater, on screen. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but these control group puppets are permitted to pursue their pet causes and agendas in politics, government, industry, etc., so long as it does not conflict or threaten with the control group's agenda. So you can complain about this, you can complain about that, but nothing ever changes. Well, so-and-so is against this, we follow him. But he never comes against the real agenda, whatever that agenda might be. And I can't speak about it online. But the puppet's first duty will always be to the control group and its agenda. Just like Delilah was submitted to the Philistines and she wanted her money, they controlled her. She had to nag him day and night, day and night, day and night. She wanted her money. She had to follow the agenda. She was opposition that was being controlled. They didn't just come in and try to attack him. They tried before, it failed, so they had to find his weakness. And they found it was through women. And that was his weakness. Even though he had a vow to God, he had a lot of character issues, right? And this is what we see. The puppet's first duty will always be to control, to the control group and the agendas. And the agendas are Agenda 2030, Agenda 2035. I've heard they're moving it up some now. I don't know. But if you study these agendas, you'll see it's happening just the way they want it to happen. They want to control the resources and bring it. I mean, it's just horrific if they get their way of what's happening and people don't even see it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't. I had people walk away. Don't preach on this. I don't want to hear it. To me, it's freeing to know what's happening. And it keeps me from not being afraid, because I know God's in control. He's showing me who the enemy is. You can't sleep with your enemy. But in the church world, we don't teach anybody who the enemy is. Because there's a price to pay for that. You get persecuted. Well, persecution is one of the promises of being a Christian. It's a true promise. If you follow the Lord, they're going to hate you the way they hated him, right? And let me close with this. And again, when there is opposition that is really being controlled, nothing changes. The agenda pushes forward. Regardless of who the players are, the agendas go forward. And I believe this is a great eye-opening to see how we Christians are supposed to be not of this world. We're living in it. We have to deal with all this stuff. But they want to bring an economic crash. They want to bring all these different things. They want to bring it down to let the phoenix rise out of the ashes. And you'll hear them even saying it on the news. I've heard there was something going on in Taiwan. And they go, we'll build again. And as the phoenix rises. And this is all part of the agenda to destroy things, to control it, and to build whatever they want. And once you see it, once you see the truth, it is painful seeing it. I cried. I laid on my carpet many hours and cried and thought, I thought this Christian was really, I didn't know he was opposition. I didn't know he was infiltrator. Do they know what they're doing? I don't know. I believe some do. I believe some don't. I know I've preached some of this other weird wacko stuff in my past. I was sincere. So I believe there's many other sincere people out there, but I also believe God's calling his bride to wake and to see what's really going on. Keep your lamps filled with oil. Stay filled. Praise and worship isn't for God. It's for us. We worship the Lord. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. It's not for God. He doesn't need our praises. We do. So we can magnify him. Oh, magnify the Lord. Because we forget. We forget who brought us out of Egypt. We forget our testimony. We forget what he delivered us from. But when we keep our eyes on him, we know he brought us this far. He didn't bring us this far to leave us, right? So we encourage ourselves in the Lord. God doesn't need encouragement. We do. God doesn't get tired and weary. We do. And that's why we worship him, to build ourselves up in him. I hope that makes it a little plainer from what I said last week. Do not impact the control group's agenda. There's so much here. I'm just going to kind of quit here. The control group remains hidden behind layers of people and organizations. So the people you're mad at right now, they're just puppet heads. They're not the real people. They aren't going to show themselves. They're not that foolish. The Philistines didn't show themselves. They hid behind the agenda of Delilah. The control group remains hidden behind layers of people and organizations, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. He had this big roar, and he had all this stuff, but what was he really? He was a man behind a curtain with a megaphone. And he terrorized. And the Bible says that's what the devil is. We're going to say, that's who the devil was? And he terrorized all the nations? And he deceived all the nations? God's the Most High, right? We have to kind of constantly remember, it looks like the enemy's winning right now. God's allowing that to happen. He's allowing, he knows the Antichrist. He's given the Antichrist a season to rule and to reign, right? But we make our decision now on earth. Eternity is a long time. One of my friends called me today and said, I hope Russia does bomb us. I want to go. I don't want to end up in a nursing home. And I laughed, but I thought, really, I mean, this world is so, it's, don't let whatever they tell you to cause you to fear. Right. It doesn't matter what happens. We're in God's hands, right? I mean, they're going to terrorize us. And this is what they love to do. They loved to terrorize Samson. And they brought him in for sport. And that's what the Philistines did. They loved to torture. They loved to bully God's people. And we have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And be like Daniel. We'll have to stand. Having done all to stand, we stand. Regardless, if we get delivered or not get delivered, we're serving the Lord. We take a stand, right? So the control group remains hidden behind layers of people and organizations. Most of these people working for the control system are unaware. They're totally unaware what they're doing. It's called deception. And they're naive. They're innocent people that have no idea that there is a group called the Synagogue of Satan, whatever you want to call them, all the societies, all the things. They're coming out now in plain sight on everything. It's not even hidden anymore because they're like, catch us if you can. We're so far advanced in our agendas now, you can't stop us. But when push comes to shove, the control group interests will always trump the public interest because they control most, if not all, the players. And lastly, but the new leadership will ultimately serve the control group agenda and stifle any real change from ever occurring. So a lot, some people will send me stuff and I'll look at it and I'll go, I know that's opposition, that's being controlled. And it looks Christian, it looks great, but I know who these people are because I've studied. I don't know all of them, but I do know enough to know of the game that's being played. And once you see the game, you can see right through it. And you're not afraid because God's with you. Just like Samson repented and he turned around, and he said, Lord, I just pray one more time. And some of us, we have to get back on our, Lord, I pray, use me for your glory. I'm here on the earth for this appointed time. Boy, it's not a season I really like, but why are we here? We're here for an appointed time to let our light shine, not to have our light put out and be controlled and be manipulated and be deceived, because the end times there's going to be more deception. Jesus said, before I come back, beware, take heed that no man deceive you. No man. We're not following man, we're following the Lord. Father, we just pray that you'd give us understanding in these issues. And I know sometimes it's hard to face this, of what evil really is. But it's all around us. It's time for us to wake up and see what you've said all along in your word. Prophecies are coming to pass just like you said they would. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. Everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the Messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.